Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
So I want to talk to you on the subject, I need a change. And I'm not talking about a two-year-old that needs changing. And if that's you, then you need a change too. But I need a change. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, very familiar passage of Scripture, it just simply says there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is for everything under heaven. And then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the Bible said, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength." You know, last week I was in here, and last week I was drained. Last week I was spent. I had given everything that I had and nothing else to give. But when you wait on the Lord, He comes and renews your strength. And waiting on the Lord doesn't mean just sitting back on your hindquarters waiting for something to happen. Waiting for the Lord is like being a good waiter. You just do whatever God asks you to do. You flow in Him, with Him, through Him, and He gets you through that thing. Amen? Don't touch that baby. Sit down. I'm just messing with you. he was moving. So anyway, let's pray. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your anointing. Thank You, Lord, that we are in this place tonight. And we can not only receive from You, but we can minister to You by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, as we come tonight, Lord, I pray that You would put into our spirit, our mind, our soul, that which we need to live our best life. And in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree an anointing that destroys every fetter. Now I bind every distraction in the name of Jesus from the north, south, east, and west that would be contrary to the word of God being preached and the message being received in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you about I need a change. And everybody talks about wanting to change something about their life or something about their person, something in or around their life. Everybody, and if you're one of those people that goes, "Well, Pastor, I don't need to change anything," you're probably one of the world's worst that need to change something. Amen. So we understand that God, if you're going to serve God, everything that lives changes. Did you hear that? Everything that lives changes. It doesn't stay the same. And if you're going to grow in God, everything that grows changes. You're not the same way you were. I find myself telling people today, this day and time, that getting old is not for sissies. You know, you got to be a little strong, man, in order to do that. So, but if you're going to continue to grow, then you're going to change. And then if you're going to change, not all change means growth. But if you're going to grow any, then there's going to be some changes in your life. Now, my first slide is this. Your future is decided by what you're willing to change. Your future is decided by what you're willing to change. Now, I want you to get this tonight, because it's on a spiritual level, but it's also on a physical level. You know, the sermons and messages that I bring to you are not always something up in the sky that needs to happen, not something up in your spirit that needs to happen. Sometimes this is life application. You know, if your future is decided by what you're willing to change. If you're not willing to change anything, then you're going to keep getting the same results that you keep on getting. There was a couple that was I was doing some financial counseling with, and they spent around $900 a month on stuff from the convenience store. And I said, if you're not, and they said, we're not willing to change that. I go, then we're done here. Because if you're not willing to change something, then you're not going to get a different result. And unless you're willing to change something, then your future is already decided. And whether it be your marriage, whether it be your relationship with God, your relationship with friends, if you're not willing to change something, then it's already decided. Now, here's the problem with relationships, is that once we come into a relationship, we want everybody to stay the same way they were when we came into that relationship. But it doesn't happen that way because people grow. But let me tell you this, as our text told us, that waiting on the Lord brings reward. Waiting on the Lord brings reward. You know, my wife started praying for her husband at the age of 15 years of age, but she waited and she got the reward. You know, come on, somebody. And so, come, amen, say amen in the back. So, but what you've got to do, though, guys, is you've got to understand some of the characteristics of God and what he's doing. Because respecting divine timing attracts reward. You got to recognize that sometimes you're just waiting on the timing of the Lord. You're waiting on God to line up some things or line other people up or line stuff that is not yet ready for you, that God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you. So waiting is a part of the equation of receiving a reward. So waiting is part of the equation. But we don't like that because we live in an instant society. But if you get something before it is done, we didn't want Selah to come before Selah was ready to come. I know that Jessica was ready at about 7.5 months for Selah to come. But we didn't want Selah to come until it was completely done in the oven. Come on, somebody. And everybody knows that if you take bread out of the oven before it's done, you just got a bunch of goo. And some of us are trying to force God's hand by doing something that that he hasn't finished yet, but yet you want it so bad, you keep asking him for it so bad. God, I want it, I want it, I want it. But God said, if you'll wait, then you'll get the reward that I'm trying to give you. And when I give it to you, it's going to be better than it was that what you thought it was going to be. Now, Alvin Toffler said this. He said, the illiterate of the future will be people who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Well, that's tough right there. People who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Because we don't want to unlearn what we just learned. But how many understand that time comes by and you once know a truth or you learn something, but then you learn a better way. You learn a better way. You thought you knew how to have a marriage until you learned a better way of how to have a marriage, and you have to unlearn. I know people who think that marriage is somebody or something that you've got to have a side car. That you need something on the side. No, that's not marriage. That's called adultery. That's what that's called. And that will send you to hell. Did I mince words? Anybody not understand what I said right there? What does that mean? I mean, if you continually commit adultery without getting it under the blood and quitting it, then you're going to hell. That's right. Send all of your correspondence to Pastor Justin at Crystal River CRCOG. Amen. I'm just trying to help somebody. But here's the deal, man. The greatest blockage to your success is previous success. The greatest blockage. Because if you've achieved something, if you did it, then you keep going back to what you know. But if you don't have the ability to unlearn what you learned and then relearn something new, then God is not going to be able to use you in the way in which he wants to use you. And you're not going to be able to succeed and go to the next level without doing that. We all know people, or maybe you don't, but I know people who learned a job but could not unlearn and do it a new way. You got to do it. They always had to do it the old way, and the old way took too long now because of new technology, and so they could not be retrained. They could not relearn, and so they had to be resigned. Amen. So we have to be able to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Now, sometimes waiting, and I say sometimes, but for me, most of the time, sometimes waiting becomes burdensome. I do not like waiting. I mean, I hate waiting. For whatever reason, I just don't like waiting. I believe that God can do a quick work. And we talked a little bit about that Sunday, about the woman with the issue of blood and had several suddenlies in her life. I believe that God can do a quick work. God did a quick work in me, but he's still working. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I believe that he can do a quick work in us and on us, but I also believe of the power of the Almighty to do a slow cook work on you. I mean, it's one thing to have a piece of meat that's been, you know, over the open fire, but there's another thing that happens. That's good, but there's another thing that when it's been slow cooked and slow smoked, and it's all, that's some good stuff too. So however God wants to do it in my life, I love the suddenlies, but if he wants to take a little time, I'm okay with that because I've learned that waiting, after the waiting, there is a reward. See, now, your decision, your passion, focus, and mentorship can create change within 24 hours. My notes are on YouVersion. Some of you can go there and get that. I know we're having a little technical difficulties, but I want you to catch that. Some people go, well, I want to change, but it's going to take this. No. You can change your life tonight. You can change your life tonight because here's the reality that you've got to understand that change happens because of focus, because of decisions, because of mentorship, and because of your decisions. Now, listen to this principle. Change, most of the time, is a product of passion, focus, and the uncluttering of our lives. That we can unclutter our spirit, unclutter our lives, but change is the product. You know, people don't change because, many times, people don't change because they see the light. They change because they feel the heat. And so we don't change. I didn't change my eating habit because I saw the light. I didn't see that broccoli was better than ice cream. I just saw the light that my A1C was getting high and I had to get it under control. All right? That's what we do. We feel the heat and therefore we change. But if you're going to change, it is a product of passion, focus, and the uncluttering of your lives. Now, this next statement, please don't get nervous on this Wednesday night because I am well aware of what time it is at 7:43. And this is it. Seven things I want to give you tonight. Seven things that will create, I told you, seven things that will create swift change in your life. Don't be nervous if we don't get to it. I'll be here next Wednesday night, but I'm going to try to get through all of them. I just got a few things. Some things that just make you go, All right, number one, are you ready? Change what you've decided to magnify. You can change it tonight. Change your magnification from the problem to the Savior. Change your magnification from what you're going through to who has you. Change your magnification. Whatever you magnify. Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." And I love verse 4. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears." Instead of magnifying on your fears, begin to magnify on Jesus and he will deliver you from all of your fears. So only you can decide what to magnify. We were in this church tonight. Josh was leading us in worship, and you had to make the decision whether to magnify the Lord or not. I can't magnify God for you. I can't pray you enough. You have to decide what you're going to magnify, and that is all on you. Look at your neighbor, say, "That's all about you." Only you can prevent forest fires, and only you can, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about right there. Only you can decide what to magnify in your life, what to magnify in your mind. What you magnify even in your vocabulary, what you magnify in your conversations. God gave us a mind to decide how big or how small everything in our life should be. Everything that you think about, everything that you magnify, God gave you a mind for you to decide. We want God to do it all. No. God wants you to decide. He gave you a mind to what are you going to think on? What are you going to magnify? And so, have you ever noticed some people make mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains? And some things they shouldn't make mountains out of, but they do. And some things they shouldn't make molehills out of, but yet they still do. Whatever you magnify becomes bigger in your life. Now, I want you to hear me. It doesn't become bigger. It just becomes bigger in your life and in your sight. When you put something under the magnifying glass, the whatever it is that you're magnifying doesn't change. What changes is your perspective. What changes is your view. So if you will put whatever it is in your life and magnify Jesus, he can't get any bigger than what he is. But when you begin to magnify him, then he becomes bigger in your life. Point number two is this. I'm going to go hurry. So how to change your life swiftly. What do you magnify? Number two, put God first daily. It is such a simple thing, but people don't do that. People don't do that. It is such a simple thing. Put God first daily. And whatever that may be. I used to, and the older I get, I've changed it. But my time with God used to be more in the late at night. That's when I get my alone time, because the kids go to bed, Sherry goes to bed, and so I have my alone time. But it's been changing over the past 15, 20 years that I'm starting to do it early in the morning when I first get up. Because Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Let God be first to influence your day. You know, I love the story where the guy goes, "God, now I haven't harmed anybody. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't spoken ill to anybody. And I just give you praise. I've done that all day. But now I'm about to get out of bed." You know, and that's the way some of us are, man. We get to that point that, you know, we haven't done anything wrong because we haven't got out of bed yet. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's called, this law is called the law of the first. And the scripture instructs us to seek God first and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking God first every day will truly change your life. And I'm not saying you got to have an hour long time with him. If you have that, then praise God. But first thing when you get up, man, spend some time. You know, I mean, my wife, first thing she does is make a cup of coffee, but then I know she spends time with the Lord. And so you spend time with God because, what's my second one? My next slide. What I do first determines what God will do second. So if I will seek him first, then God will do something second. Because, listen, God is a jealous God. He said he will not have any other gods before him. That includes your wife, your children, your job, or your hobbies. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, number three. I'm just trying to give you some things that will help you create swift change. Create your atmosphere with music. Create your atmosphere with music. Psalms 22:3 says, "For God inhabits the praises of his people." And if you want stuff to change, bring God in. How many understand that your mood and your atmosphere changes with music, especially with music? And especially if you're musical. I mean, you know, if you just start something, you know, you ain't trying to be romantic with "Welcome to the Jungle." Right? And I love this note here. I love this note. I call it the romantic note. Let me see if I can find it here. There it is. Anyway, so you create an atmosphere. You know, if you're wanting to get romantic, I'm not putting Elevation Praise on. Right? Maybe some Luther, but not Elevation. I'm not putting Eddie James on when I'm trying to calm down. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. But music creates an atmosphere, or helps you create an atmosphere, because now check it. What you hear, I told you Sunday that what you hear determines your direction, but also what you hear determines what you feel. What you feel and your direction. Music decides your mood. Music decides your mood. Music controls your environment. Music ushers in the presence of God. And let me say this to you. You know, somebody goes, well, you know, Pastor, we ain't got to be that loud. Well, power is always accompanied by sound. Power is accompanied by sound. Let me ask you this. Any hunters in here, or you're probably asleep already, but any hunters that are in here, you know that if you cross into somebody's territory and they're on that land, they're not going to go, hey, I think you're on my property. All they have to do, and especially if you know you're on their property, is, hey, and you sheepishly cross back over. Right? My bad. I didn't mean nothing. I was just looking for my turkey. I can turn on a song and instantly change the atmosphere. On Saturday evening, I texted Josh and Brad because there was a song I wanted Brad to do the next morning because I knew what atmosphere I wanted to preach in. And so I knew that that song would usher in the atmosphere that I wanted to preach, the message that I felt like God had for me. So what happens in your mind decides what you feel. Wait a minute, Pastor. That's right. You decide your feelings. What happens in your mind determines your feelings. Well, I can't help the way I feel. You right? Feelings, but you can replace it with another feeling. And that comes from your mind. That comes from your surroundings. Because your surroundings are vital to your mood. You must control the atmosphere around you, or the atmosphere around you will control you. You got to do this, man. Because, see, the problem is we think that we are thermometers. And thermometers measure the temperature, measure the atmosphere, but what God's called you and I to be is thermostats. A thermometer measures, but a thermostat sets. When we want it to get cool in here, we'll walk over there and hit the button and make it cool. If we need it warm, we'll walk over there and hit the button and make it warm. So you are a thermostat with God. So you don't have to let the atmosphere control you. I control it. And you know, there was one time when I worked for Wendy's, and the owner of the company of Wendy's was there, and it was we were messing up, and it was just a bad scene, and he was getting upset and aggravated, and when he got upset, all the rest of my crew got upset, including me. All right. So here's what I told the owner of the company that I worked for. I said, Steve, I said, one of us are leaving right now. He said, what? He wasn't a Christian by no stretch of the imagination. He cussed me a little bit. He goes, I own this blankety-blank place. I go, yes, you do, and I run it. So if you want to run it, I'll leave. But just leave. Give me 10 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. You can come back. He walked out. I controlled the atmosphere. Listen, you better be very secure in your job if you tell your boss that. Well, Pastor, I did what you did, and they fired me. Well, they probably will. But he left. He left for 15 minutes, and as soon as he walked out the door, I said, everybody calm down. I said, all right, we got this, guys. Ain't no big deal. We do this every day of our lives. Everybody just calm down. He walked back in, and it was a different atmosphere. I had to remove the irritant from the atmosphere, and then we got it together. You are the thermostat. Now, I wish I could tell you I always set the thermostat, but I don't. but most of the time I do. I do my best, not because I want to be in control, but I want the atmosphere that I desire instead of the atmosphere that's there. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. All right. So God did not call us to be thermometers. He called us to be thermostats. You set the atmosphere. Number four. Now, this is going to be weird. Number four, lower your goals. What? My goal is as low as a gopher's transmission already. Well, Philippians 3:13 says this, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Now, when I mean lower your goals, I mean quit having 27. Maybe bring it down to 10. Maybe bring it down to 5 or whatever. Because sometimes we have so many goals, then they're not goals, they're daydreams. They're just dreams. And you're not hitting any of them. And in order for you to fulfill a goal, you got to have passion. And if your passion is not there, then you get discouraged because you're never hitting any of your goals. And that's what the devil's counting on, is for you to never hit your goal and never get excited about what God's put in your spirit. But if you will lower them, I'm not talking about lower your standards. That's two different things. Lower your goals by how many that you have. I mean, these are secondary goals, but right now I'm going to focus on 4 or 5. And I'm going to get that. And when I get there, I'm going to go, hallelujah, praise God. And then I'll maybe add another one, whatever the case may be. But understand, prioritize your goals. Feelings of discouragement will enter when you consistently fail to meet or achieve your goals. So focus on the top 3 or 4. Set achievable goals. Some that are reachable. You know, the Bible says that every man does right in his own mind. My mind can go, well, Pastor, that's just faith. No, reachable goals need to be reachable. I am not ever going to play in the NBA. They scouted me and they said, nah. No, they didn't even scout me. I'm 5'10" and white. No, they didn't scout me. Come on. And I can't shoot. And that's probably the biggest reason, because I can't shoot. But if I was 7 foot, do you know, here's some statistics. If you are below 6 foot, it's 1 in 1,000,000 that you'll play for the NBA. But if you're 7 feet tall, even if you don't know how to play basketball, you have a 1 in 6 shot of playing in the NBA. Because you're 7 foot tall. You're going to need just, nobody can reach you. Look it up on Google. Not right now, I'm preaching. But that's the truth. All right? So lower those goals. All right? Where am I at? Number 5. Lower to delegate. What do you mean? Quit thinking so highly of yourself that nobody can do what you do except for you. Acts 6:3 says this, and so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. It's the disciples talking. They said, man, we can't do everything. We got to delegate some stuff. And they begin to delegate. So, Lord, you know, all the things that I go to, it says, try to do, know what only you can do. You know, like today, it was getting a little late, and I hadn't had my sermon together. And so after lunch, I came in, and I had gotten numerous interruptions. Yesterday was a full day. So today, when I came back from lunch, I told the secretaries, I go, do y'all need me? I said, then don't let nobody else mess with me. I've got to get in there because nobody can do the message for me today. Right? I can't have Roy do it and then come and give it to me and I get up and preach. I can't do that. I've got to put it together. Right? So that's what that is. So I know that I can't do that, but the things that need to be done, I can delegate to other people who can do it. Does that make sense to you? Do the same thing with your own self. Know your limitations. Well, I don't have any. All right. Your number one limitation is your ignorance. Know your limitations. Delegation is simply giving others necessary instruction and motivation to complete a particular task. This takes time, patience, but in the long term, it is beneficial. Let me help some of you out in case you're wondering. Human beings were built with limits. God didn't design you to be a superhero. And sometimes we forget that, especially when people depend on you. Because you feel like, you know, well, I'm Superman, I can do it. I can do whatever I need to do. You know, last Wednesday night when I just didn't have anything else to give, I realized I'm not Superman. I'm limited. I've known that a long time. But it just further proved the point to my own self that I can't do it all. All right? You and I were created to live dependent lives, never surviving on the basis of our own strength, our own wisdom, our own control. We must be dependent on Jesus. And from the moment of our first breath, we were limited, we were weak, and we were fragile beings. And when we die, we're going to die weak and fragile beings. But we're not weak to the point that we can't live. We can live. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live. But understand that you have limited abilities. Good preaching, Pastor. All right. Number 6. Sow honor lavishly. Sow honor lavishly. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. Honor is respect. You know, there are people that throw around respect a lot. Fights and people get killed out of respect and disrespect. But honor is the currency of the kingdom. Respect is acknowledgement of rank or experiences with a person who has gained your trust or fear by their own free will actions. You can't make somebody honor you. You can't make somebody respect you. Listen, respect is given. Disrespect is earned. Woo, preach, preacher. So that's therefore the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is, that fear is not to be afraid, but to have respect for God. And when you respect God, and you respect others, whatever you respect, you attract. I want you to catch that. Whatever you respect, you attract. If you honor people, people will honor you. The difference is the difference in us is who we choose to honor. I just don't get it, and I'm confounded that we choose to honor somebody who can throw a football, who can shoot a basketball, who can hit a home run, but yet the people who are teaching our kids, spoken like a dad of a teacher, but you understand what I'm saying. We, you know, our doctors and our doctors, you know, who help save us from, you know, we don't give them the respect, but then we pay the lawyers all the money. Let me move on before I start meddling. All right. Honor is seed. Honor is an investment. Honor is a bridge. The people you honor, honor gains you access. If you honor people, they gain you access. You will keep a relation when you keep showing honor. You know, if you want your relationship to continue to grow, you got to honor your spouse as the mother of your children and the affection of your love, or the recipient of your love. You got to honor that person. You know, one of the great things my wife and I, we've been married 34 years. We ain't done everything right, and we ain't always got along because she won't act right sometimes. But we have a great relationship. But she's never dishonored me in front of our children or in front of anybody else. And I've tried to do the same. All right? Because honor is the currency of the kingdom. Honor, you got to keep showing honor. Now, y'all can't believe it. Number 7. decide who matters most in your life. Luke 14:28 says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Pastor, that goes along with that? Yes, it does. Because if you don't count the cost, who matters most in your life? Because if you don't count the cost, then it may be your children that pay the price or your spouse pays the price. Let me tell you something. In any time that I'm in a counseling session, I never answer the phone unless it's my wife. Why? Because she's more valuable to me than anybody else in this room. I don't answer the phone if anybody else calls unless it's my wife and then sometimes my children. Why? Because they matter most to me in my life. Well, Pastor, that's not right. No. It's right. It's right. Not everyone. Now, I'm going to lose some of you right here. Some of you are going to get mad, but I'm trying to help somebody. Not everyone and everything qualifies for the same amount of time and energy. Wow, that's tough, Pastor. Well, it's not tough unless you're the other person who is a time and energy sucker. They will suck the life out of you, suck the time out of you, suck the energy out of you, and still not change. Because they want you to give them a magic pill to change them. Now, we believe in prayer. Well, that's what they want. They want somebody to do the economy auto supply on them and then them change from that prayer. No, that is a start, but that is not. Nobody laying hands on you can change you. You have to make the decision that I'm going to make a change in my life. I need the change in my life, and I'm going to change. Listen, I mean, such a great story of redemption, of how they used to be and where they are now and living, you know, married and children and a home, and it's work, ain't it? It's tough and all of those things. But however, we could not do it for them. It doesn't matter how much we prayed for them. We could lay hands on them. We could put enough oil on them that they'd be ready for the grease fire. But we could not do it for them. They had to do it themselves. But listen, here it is. This is the result of what they did. They are engaged. They are living the life that God had for them. And what God did for them on a level that maybe you and I are not. Maybe we're not homeless. Maybe we're not in a rehab program. We're not there. But the same God that did it for them is the same God that can do it for you. But listen, I don't want you to mix words. I don't want you to miss that I'm saying God can do it for you. Not that He's going to do everything for you. You do the difficult and God will do the impossible. But you got to start somewhere. You must decide whom you have been sent. Discern who celebrates your distinct difference. I mean, quit going where you're just tolerated. Go where you're celebrated, man. Nobody else can change your life. Nobody. Nobody else can change your life for you. So start now. Start tonight. Start tonight, man. I mean, I gave you 7 things that it can swiftly change your life. Swiftly change your life. I'm going to hit them one more time. Go with me if you would, Ryan. Just matter of fact, I'm going to look to you to give them to me. Number one, change what you've decided to magnify. Number two, put God first daily. I mean, man, this is such, you've got to do it. Create your atmosphere with music. Create your atmosphere. Lower your goals to from 25 to 10. You know, let me stop right there. Because do you know that if you will just write a goal down, if you will write a goal down, I know vision board and all that stuff, and for me that's kind of sissy stuff. I ain't gonna do that. I'm sorry. I know you like. Hey, she's doing it. But if you will write a goal down, write it down, then you are 80% ahead of the population. Because we just think, oh, I wish. Oh, one day it's going to get better. And you keep clicking your heels together. It ain't. You got to do something. All right. So lower your goals. Number 5, lower to delegate. Listen, quit being so prideful that you don't ask somebody for some help. Lower to delegate. Number six, sow honor lavishly. And decide who matters most in your life. Now, I know the correct answer, we should say, well, yes, that's Jesus. That's the spiritual side. Are you catching? Are you smelling what I'm cooking? That's the spiritual side. But there's a reality side that many Christians and Pentecostal wants to separate the two, that, you know, that one has nothing to do with the other. It does. They're intermingle all the time. I mean, I feel like I'm bringing you a word tonight, but unless you receive it in your spirit and your mind, it's not going to take root and go anywhere. You got to make that decision. I can't make it for you. Now, of course, if you're in this place tonight and you've never made the decision to serve Christ, that's the first decision you need to make. I mean, I'm telling you, man, Jesus will do you good. Jesus will do you good. Well, Pastor, I don't understand everything. Well, join the crowd. Not everybody understands everything. But it's just simply this. That unless you've asked Him to come into your life, I'm sorry, it didn't matter how good you are. I'm sorry, man. But unless you've asked Him to come into your life, you're headed for hell. But when you ask Him to come into your life, He comes in and forgives all of the garbage, all of the junk that you've done, wipes it away. Wipes it away, man. Throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a no fishing sign on that sea. So people can't be pulling it back out and pulling it back up. Come on. That's when you're ready, man. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promise I won't embarrass you, but if you don't know Jesus, I just want you to lift up your hand and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but if you don't know Jesus, would you just lift up your hand? Pastor, I need to ask Him into my life.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.